Love Talk Radio.
I'll be here, yeah. Because I'm going to the radio right now. Okay, but I'll be...
Good morning. Well, we are live. We are live right now. Good morning, good morning. And welcome, welcome, welcome to the show this morning. This is Coach LaLisa, and I have a very, very, very special guest with me this morning. And my guest has a very interesting and powerful, dynamic topic that we're going to be talking about this morning. Mostly he's going to be talking about it. And listen, I'm going to be like you this morning, listening. But we welcome you to the show this morning. The chat room will be open in just a second. And he's going to be here not just this morning. This is a topic that is being introduced on today, but it is going to be, I believe it's going to be a weekly segment on Tuesdays. So Tuesdays, get ready. Tell everyone you know about this subject. Wait till you hear it. All right, I want to introduce to some, let you know that Mr. Terry Benjamin is with us. Mr. Terry Benjamin, he's quite a few things. He's first and foremost, he's a husband, he's a father, he's a professor, a college professor. He's also an administrator. He is a publisher. Yes, he is a publisher. He's an author, and he's a writer, publisher, husband, father, friend. I tell you, professor, instructor. I mean, this man gets around. I don't know what else he does, but I tell you what, he can probably tell you. He's a leader. He's just a dynamic person. Mr. Terry Benjamin, I met him some years back, somewhere around 1991, when I had to transfer to Union County College from Essex County College. And so with that being said, that's about 20 years, Terry, that we've been knowing each other.
Yes, it has been that, yes.
Good morning, and welcome. And you're here to talk about an important topic, especially now since I got a birthday coming up very soon. One more year.
My birthday, though.
well, we will see. Was it considered, depending what you call near, but I tell you, you know, it's just amazing where your life can take you, you know. So here I am on the line on Coach LaLisa Show talking with Mr. Terry Benjamin, professor, I tell you, administrator. I met him, he was administrator one of the admissions counselor.
Yes.
And he helped me with my paperwork to get into school. I tell you, it's just so amazing. So 20 years ago, I mean, and here I am today. When you met me, I was just working. When you met me, I was just working on an associate degree. And now I'm working on a PhD, Terry.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I'm not surprised, though, because when I first met you, I said, this woman is going places. She just needs somebody to just give her a little gentle nudge in the right direction. But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. And also,
I hope there are more people like you out there to nudge people
Well, what there is, but before we get started, I just want to tell you, I want to thank you for coming out to my writers' conference. You really shared quite a bit with people. And it's so important that people understand that you can realize your dreams. And there are people out there who have the same dream that you have, and you need to get with those people, those like-minded people, and make yourself at home. And that's what you did, and I appreciate that so much for you coming out.
Oh, I appreciate being offered, and what an opportunity. What an awesome. I mean, see, that's why we can tell people that. Just keep living. You never know.
That's the thing. Keep living. I mean, I have to be honest. I knew at 9 years old that I wanted to be a writer. But at least I didn't post my first book until I was in my 50s.
Wow.
So the thing is, I mean, I would never have realized my dream, And now at 61, I have even more dreams that I want to be live, but I know I have to take care of myself to be there to appreciate it. I mean, that's why we got to understand that, you know, it's up to you. I tell my students there's bad news and there's good news. The good news is that it's 100% up to you. The bad news is that it is 100% up to you. It's the same thing, okay? It's all on you. You can't blame your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. It is on you. You have to take 100% responsibility for your life. And this is not from me. This is from Jack Canfield, the guy who created the Chicken Soup for the Soul series.
Yeah.
He and his partner went to 144 publishers, and they were rejected.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if he would have said stop then, he would not be where he is today. And, you know, again, I always look at people who are in their 60s. Jack Canfield is 67. And I call him sexy at 67. Okay?
Wow.
And, again, he's still doing what he loves to do. And that's the key, I think, longevity. I think when you find what you love to do, that adds years to your life.
Yeah, vitality to your life. Now, let me just let people know what this weekly topic is about. The topic that Terry Benjamin is going to be talking to us about, sharing some vital information. The one topic that I love, and not just because my birthday is next month, but I got my AARP card. You know,
look out.
But here's the thing. And, you know, you get that thing at 50, but now they're like, okay, lady, use it, you know.
Yeah.
But healthy aging and lifelong learning.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
I love it, Terry.
Yeah.
Terry,
yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah,
hey,
that's worth
waiting for. And it even rhymes. I like that. Healthy aging and lifelong learning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But tell us, oh, my goodness. Let's talk about this healthy aging. Now, wow, you got
to
age anyway. Why not do it healthy?
Again, if you got to do it, why not do it well?
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
You know?
That's
and the sad thing about it is no one teaches us that. You know?
Wow.
I always tell my students that, you know, you have two curriculums, okay? You had a curriculum for your college course, but you need a curriculum for your life.
Okay. Wow, Terry.
And with that life curriculum, you have homework every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can you say that again, please?
Yeah,
wait a minute. You got to say that again.
Like I said, you got a curriculum for your school and you got a curriculum for your life. And a curriculum for your life is what's going to give you that longevity. Because I always say that all college does is give us a roadmap, but you got to learn how to follow it.
And where do you learn that at?
Well, I mean, I think you learn it from life experiences and also around people who are around you. Like my mother and father, it's interesting. My mother just turned 76 and my father is 75.
My Lord.
And these are the two people, although these of them have a degree, they don't have any degrees and whatnot, but they are two of the wisest people that I've ever met. And they're still my life. They're my mentors. I mean, it's so funny. I spent last weekend with my mother. And this weekend, my father is being actually honored by the city of Plainfield. So I'll be with him this Saturday. See, the thing is, they've kept themselves vital. You know, they're not going to be taken off the scene because they still have things to offer. And they've instilled that in me. And so when I talk about curriculum, I'm saying that, you know, it is a life curriculum. And, you know, Lisa, you have homework every single day. Every day is your homework, okay? And those are out there taking notes, this is your first note, okay? Every day you have homework, and this is your homework. Your homework is developing the habit of literacy, okay? Develop the habit of literacy, which means every single day, and this is, when I say every single day, I mean Monday through Sunday. Every single day, okay, you do five things, and I do it. I do. That's how my students do. Every single day, you do five things. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, read. Okay. Read a newspaper, magazine, read something from the internet. Okay. We need to read because that keeps the mind alive, that builds the imagination, and that also keeps us informed and up to date. a lot of people get old because they sort of fall out of the loop. And even this could happen at 30 or 40. You know, you got to know what's going on. Like, for example, last night I had a very great experience. I was reading the newspaper, and I found that they were having a documentary on Harry Belafonte, who was 85. I tell you, Lisa, that documentary, Sing a Song, based on his, he had a book coming out entitled Sing a Song. It was beautiful. It just told me so much about that man who is still a giant in the whole area of civil rights. That's his thing. I mean, he's a singer and an actor, but he is a civil rights activist. He's still doing it. They showed him in South Africa. They showed him in Los Angeles speaking with the gang members. You know, this man is still very viral. So, again, now if I wasn't a reader, I wouldn't have picked that up. So, number one, read. Number two, write. Okay? Write a note, write an essay, write a book.
Wow.
Or write, because I think that reading and writing go together.
Wow.
And what happens is that the generation behind us, the generation we have right now, they don't read and write. So they don't think. And when they come to schools and it's said, I believe, and I may be wrong, but it may be worse, okay? But I know because I teach sometimes I teach development to English, reading and writing, and I know at some colleges, and this is across the board, because I've taught at universities as well as colleges and community colleges, 75% of the students who come to us from high school are not ready for college. And I'll say that again. 75% of the students who come to us from high school in New Jersey, that's what I know, are not ready for college. So consequently, you have the remedial courses. And, you know, they're big sellers because students need this, you know, because and the thing that hurts them even more so is because, see, you know, you would think the technology would help their literacy. It doesn't. It hurts it because when they text, and they text all the time, but they text and you, Y-O-U, becomes you. Becomes B. And so when you're writing an essay, and I see a lot of this. As a matter of fact, we had a meeting about it. Why are the kids writing like this? And we realized they're texting.
I almost did it. Yeah, sometimes, because I've adopted some of those little shortcuts, and then when I'm ready to write now an email to my boss or an email to somebody professional, I have to backspace and take that out, because so quickly I want to put you or I want to put, you know, certain things. So, yes, it's horrible.
Yeah, but I tell the students, look, I mean, you have to be bilingual. And what I mean by that is that you have to speak language, but then you have your professional language.
Okay.
So you talk to somebody in higher position the way you talk to somebody in the street.
You better say that.
Listen, you don't talk the same way to the brother as you talk to the professor in the college, okay? That's why I say, you know, you have to be bilingual. A lot of people think it's learning another language. I think it's learning another attitude.
All right,
that's what it comes down to. It's the attitude. That's the attitude of respect. So you read and you write. And the third thing is you talk. Which a lot of people don't have any problem with it, but let's talk some sense. And I tell my students, let's talk with reference, which means that if I'm talking about healthy aging, lifelong learning, I reference Jack Canfield, okay? I say, Jack Canfield said so-and-so, okay? And so what I do is I talk, but I talk with reference. So what I'm talking about has greater power. I mean, I think I'm a pretty intelligent guy. It was always good to talk with reference. For example, let me just listen to this, okay? This is from Jack Canfield, and he says here, and I quote, "When you always tell the truth, people trust you. When you do what you say as promised, people respect you." So this is the kicker from Jack Canfield. "When you make others feel special, people like you." How about that? And that's from the wisdom of Jack Canfield. Like I said, I can talk, but even better that I talk with reference. And that's why, you know, there are mentors that I have who I've never met. I never met Jack Canfield. I could send him a mentor. I never met Wayne Dyer. I could send him a mentor. I never met Cheryl Richardson. I could send her a mentor. I never met Les Brown. I could send him a mentor. you know. And if you want to be selfless, you should watch the film The Secret. And what I've done, I watched The Secret, the film by Rhonda Byrne, based on her book. And there's about 30 people in that film who are speaking about the law of attraction. And what I decided to do is that I'm going to read at least one book by those authors. See, understand that when you're introducing something like this, you need to do your homework. Okay, you need to know, if you don't know Jack Canfield, get a book. You don't have to know who Shel Richardson is, get a book. Les Brown, et cetera. Get these people's books. So therefore, you get more out of what I'm talking about. Okay, so it's read, write, talk, and then it's listen.
Mm-hmm.
It said that God gave us two ears and one mouth because he wants us to listen more than we speak.
Now, is that number three?
Read, write, talking. That's four. Reading, writing, talking, and listening. Okay, this listening is four. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And sometimes we need to listen, and we need to listen between the lines. Because sometimes people talk, but they don't really say what they mean, so you have to be a good listener. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that people need attention. I think that's one of the things about the society. When people get older, we want to push them to the side and not listen to them. But they have wisdom, and it's just that, you know, with you and I, because we are in the educational arena, and we know how to present our ideas, we're in a pretty good position. But what about the regular person? You know, sometimes, you know, somebody says something to you, you say, oh, well, go ahead and have a nice day. Not realizing they say, well, I just found out that I'm having cancer. And because you didn't listen, just your knee-jerk response, oh, have a good day, you know, God bless. But you can't get this. It's going to affect you something else. You know?
Wow.
So it's read, write, talk, listen. And the last thing, Lisa, is view. And when I say view, watch something with some substance. Like last night, of course, I'm going to get a copy of that DVD on Harry Belafonte, because I want to have that in my collection. You know?
Wow.
Because I want to view that. I want to share it with my students and anybody that would like to see it. Because, again, people knock TV and cable, that kind of stuff. I don't knock it, because you have to be discerning, of course, but there's some worthwhile things on TV, okay? I mean, there's worthwhile things on cable. I mean, the fact that Oprah has her own network, that's a reason to cheer. This past Sunday, I watched her masterclass, but I also watched the next program, which was a documentary on Tyler Perry. And I just got some insights into his creative process and the fact that, you know, here's a man who controls his own destiny. He has a studio where he does his films and his TV shows and that kind of stuff. And he was a man who at one time was homeless. So don't tell me that you have it bad. Don't tell me that, because if you have your mental faculties in your head and you are doing some righteous things, now you have the same capacity as Tyler Perry if you want to dream that hard and work even harder. How about that? You know, so again, as I said, so in this new university, the first thing is develop the habit of literacy, which is writing, reading, talking, listening, and viewing. And if you do that every day, which I do, you'll be surprised how you will grow and develop. You'll be so surprised.
Wow.
And there's one last thing before we move on to another topic. Malcolm Gladwell, in a book called The Outliers, he talks about success. And he says, and somebody needs to write this down, if you want to be an expert in your field, put in 10,000 hours, okay? That's the magic number, 10,000 hours. And I know you have put in more than 10,000 hours. I know I have put in more than 10,000 hours in what I'm about, whether it's public speaking, whether it's writing, or et cetera. But I think what happens, most people are not successful because they don't want to put in the time, you know. But for me, when I'm writing, you know, for me, it's playtime. It's like going out to the park to do my 5 miles in the morning, you know. I've been out there such a long time. I have friends, people I only see, you know, in the morning. Because I'm walking around and we say hi. I don't even know their name, you know. But the point is that you have to be around, you know, people who are at least conscious about the fact that, you know what, you know, we need to exercise, not just our minds, but also exercise our bodies. that's
Terry, I
make it the sexiest 60 and beyond.
Sexy. And some people probably want to know, how can I get sexy at 30? So they gonna pick up this book and there's some folks at 30 ain't sexy because.
Of course, I'm saying, but again, to be
sexy,
you got to start earlier.
It's funny because
when I was 9 years old, I wanted to be a writer. But then when I turned 19, I said, well, I want to be when I was 50. And you talk about books. I know one of the books that changed, well, two books changed my life was the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Why?
That's a life
changer. Life changing. And the thing that really got me is that when I picked the book up, it said on the back of the book, Malcolm says, and quote from Malcolm X said that, you know what, by the time that you get this book, I will probably be dead. And guess
my
what?
My Lord.
He was assassinated. But I read that book's autobiography of Malcolm X with Alex Haley because I wanted to learn about transformation. Here's a man who went into the prison system, a robber, you know, a burglar, you know, a drug dealer, you know, a pimp. But he changed his life because when he came out, he was able to date people from all universities all over the world. And he said that the prison was his homemade education. And one of the things I love in the book and also in the movie, they show that what he did, he took a dictionary and he copied words and definitions from A to Z.
My God.
That's why he ruined his eyesight when he was in prison. They would do lights out, and he would continue to read, you know, and study. And the second book that changed my life was a book called How to Eat to Live by Elijah Muhammad. And it taught me how to eat to live. I mean, one of the things I loved about the Muslims was the fact that back in the day, they only ate one meal. They had snacks and water and et cetera, but they only ate one major meal. That was late in the day. It was before 6, though. See, a lot of people don't understand it. I think just in terms of just longevity, you need to start your day with fresh water and fruit. In the afternoon, you should have soup, and then in the late day, before 6, you should have your dinner. Okay. But don't pile things on, and then what happens? And you have to discipline yourself to eat no more after 6. Now a lot of people find that hard to do, but what happens is that it helps. it keeps your body lean, because like I said, I'm 61, and you know people would say, well, you don't look 61. Well, it's not because I'm lucky. It's because I work at it, and I work at it because I want to be around for another 20, 40 years, but I want to be around, Lisa, in good shape. I mean, you know, because it's one thing to be around and not in good shape, but I want to be around and I want to be in good shape because I look at Harry Belafonte in that documentary, and he's in great shape. He's in excellent shape, you know. And, of course, in the documentary, he had to bring on his friend, Sidney Poitier, who also looks amazing as well.
And he's got to be at least, what, 77, 80? Sidney Poitier?
He's in the 80s as well. But I'm saying they still have things to contribute, because when I was watching that documentary, I felt like I was sitting at the feet of a giant. You know, I felt I was sitting at the feet of the elder. I think a lot of times, I think if students really use you and I the right way, you know, and not to brag on ourselves, but they have to understand you're sitting at the feet of wisdom. And it's not just in those books, you know, it's life experiences. And I've had some, you know, not so good experiences as well as you. I mean, I after 27 years, my first marriage, we realized it had ended. And we parted as friends. But it doesn't stop the pain. It hurts. I mean, it hurts. And my mother said, you know, you and Shelly had a great run. I said, you know what, Mom, I wasn't in it for a great run. I love this woman. I wanted to be with this woman for the rest of my life. It didn't happen. It was painful, but it was a learning experience. I learned from that. I grew from that. And then I had the nerve to turn around at 60 and get married.
And do it again. That's what you get now.
Yes, very crazy or very smart.
That's very smart, very smart. And she's very, and she's very smart. And, you know, I remember, you know, when you were going through, you know, your, you know, separation and ultimately, you know, your divorce. And, you know, we, and I was going through something too, something similar. I did go through a separation, and I would, you know, there were times when, and there will be times in the future when I would testify and will testify how. Why are you laughing? You funny. And
well,
why,
that's
and how,
I know this is typical. You know, we go through these things. You know.
Yes. Yes. Right. And you know how bless God for you, because let me tell you, a lot of people, you know, especially, you know, women who go through things like that, they don't have men like you to get advice from or wisdom from. See, and yeah, and that's important, because a lot of the women, when they go through something like that, they only have people who will say to them, "That's right, go. That's right, you don't need to be there. Go." They're making you miserable.
Yeah.
That's what most people do. That's what I would say. About 90% of people give that kind of advice to someone.
Well, they do, but they have to understand. Mm-hmm. See, you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm married, I said to myself, this is, you know, the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, you know? And it's so funny, just in terms of books, this is, might want to write this down too, because this is a book that helped me. The book called Rebuilding. When Your Relationship Ends. And it's by Dr. Bruce Fisher and Dr. Robert Alberti. Okay? And again, the book is Rebuilding When Your Relationship Ends by Dr. Bruce Fisher and Dr. Robert Alberti. And it really helped me, you know. It helped me get through the situation. And also, it helped me to not be angry and bitter. It helped me to reach out to my ex-wife and say that, look, you know, I know it's not working, and, you know, and the quiet is kept, you know. I don't say this to many people, but maybe it needs to be said, we were in the house, and we were strangers. I mean, I do all things that I used to do, like I paid the rent, I had food in the house and whatnot, you know, but we were virtually strangers. And people say, well, you know, she's hanging around because she wants to reconcile. I said, no, I don't think so. I think she's hanging around because she wants to get herself together before she leaves. Which is fine, you know. I understand, because, you know, we're adults.
I think I was one of those persons that said she's angry because she wants to reconcile. But wow.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, we have to understand that, you know, this is a process. I mean, I still love her. I mean, I'm not in love with her, but I still love her. I still respect her. I mean, I you know, now I have a blended family. You know, I have two daughters and my son from my first marriage, and for the second marriage, I have three daughters. And the thing is beautiful, they've come together as adults. I mean, because my son, my second family, they consider him their big brother. My two other daughters, you know, they've been to the house, and we've had some dinners and that kind of stuff. And I told them, I said, you know, look, me and your mother divorced, but I haven't divorced you. I still love you, and I still support you. Whatever you need to do, I can do. But people have to understand that, you know, there's seasons and there's reasons. And but don't be bitter about it, because it's all running process. I mean, my wife, you know, we divorced each other. You know, we didn't kill each other. We didn't hurt each other any more than we had to. I know she was disappointed. I was disappointed as well. But we were smart enough to know that, you know what, we're not helping each other being together. You know, we're not helping. We think two different ways. We're going to two different directions. So, you know.
Well, that's good.
That's a topic
we wanted, we're going to do here, and we're going to definitely have you back for that too, on that blended family. I mean, you're like an expert. Did you put in your 10,000 hours?
Well, I'm working on that. This is new for me, but it takes work, you know. And like I said, because I love all my children, you know, even my new daughters. I mean, I love them. It's about love to the point where, you know, I think as you get older, Lisa, you don't think so much about yourself, you know, because you know what you do, you know why you do it. But at this point, I want to be, I guess I want to be of service, you know. That's what it comes down. I want to be of service. And the project, the book that I'm working on, and this is what got all this conversation started, is a book entitled Glory Days, Sexy at 60, Questions That Matter, Answers That Reveal. That's Glory Days, Sexy at 60, Questions That Matter, Answers That Reveal. And what I do in this book is I interview people from, you know, from 60 to 69.
Oh, this is your book, Sexy. This is your book, Glory Days.
Glory Days. This is what I'm working on. It's so funny because, you know, it's funny how things happen because, you know, I'm a big advocate of the law of attraction. It's called The Secret in the book, but it's the law of attraction. And what it means in essence is that once you start on your path, you attract people to help you. Because I've been working on this project, Sexy at 60, for a couple of years now. And But what's got me even more, like, inspired is the fact, you know, it's a sad story. One of the first people I interviewed for this book was a woman that was recommended by her daughter. She said, you know, my mother has to be in this book. I said, right, fine. So I went to interview her mother. In the course of the interview, I found out that the mother had cancer. Now, when I was speaking to her, I had no idea, you know. But we got into this, and she told me she had cancer. And I said, well, look, you know, I hope God, you know, preserves you and whatnot. Make a long story short, she passed a couple of months ago. And they called me, and then she called me. The daughter called me. She said, will my mother still be in the book? I said, yeah, of course. The interview, because I did the interview, she will be in the book. And now, because I hooked up with some filmmakers, I decided to do a documentary. And when I'm going to do for her section, I'm going to get some pictures from her. And because I have her on tape, I'm going to do a voiceover on her picture. So she will be there. She will be there. But now I got to sort of step it up because I have a lot of people. As a matter of fact, the way the book starts is you know, just general discussion about, you know, aging. But then I have my interviews. But the last two interviews in the book are interviews with my mother and my father.
Okay.
Because it's Sexy at 60 and beyond. Okay. See, this is just the start because I want to do what I'm a book I call Fabulous at 70 and Awesome at 80.
All right now.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I haven't come with anything for 90, but I will.
But the point is, I think you stay alive, you stay vital
because you have a purpose. You know, you have a purpose. People with no agenda die early because there's no reason for them to be around. You know, I mean, they have made themselves obsolete.
Wow.
And the worst thing to do at our age is to isolate ourselves. You know, we need our activity. We need to do this and do this and do that because it keeps us alive. It keeps us vital. You know, my mother and father are great examples. They're both retired, but they're still busy. You know, and one of the things that when I get into this series a little more, I'm going to talk about the myth of retirement. It's a myth. Because to retire to me means to stop. I remember I told when I retired at 57 from Union County College as a college administrator, and I continued there as an adjunct professor. I retired at 57, and I told my father I was retiring. He said, "Well, you're too young to retire." I said, "Dad, when I say I'm retiring, what I mean is I'm going to do more of the things that I love to do. I'm not going to do 9 to 5 because at 9 to 5 you can't really do anything on a 9 to 5 because you get there in the morning, you leave in the afternoon." You can't do much with the day, but what they want you to do. When you are working for yourself, when you're, quote, retired, like I am, I make my own day. I'm up at 5 o'clock every single day, and sometimes I don't even have to go earlier to work. But I want that time. I want that time from 5 to 10. You know, that's my day. And I want to do as much as I can in that day. You know, because again, this is what keeps me going, and this is like I said, I practice the habit of literacy from Monday to Sunday, and also I get early from Monday to Sunday because I want all the time that I can get. You know.
Now, the lifelong learning, okay,
mm-hmm.
talk a little bit more about, expound on that a little bit more, lifelong learning. And you know, Terry, it's so interesting, too, because here I am on the radio with this show bringing you on. Now, I remember 3 years ago, at least, or maybe whenever we were down at Yeshiva College together. And
that was an adventure, wasn't it?
I tell you, every time I think about that, all I can think of is the because how he brought me in to you, it's like almost like I, you know, went to Jerusalem or something, but Jerusalem right in Newark, you know. And those young boys, they taught me almost more about the, I said, God, you know, I see what you're doing. You know I'm not going to go to seminary. So you said, I'm going to put you right down here and I'm going to give you a theological lesson. Because when he put me in there with those Jewish kids, well, they were 19-ish, and the rabbi, I'm around rabbis, and that just blew my mind. And not only that, God allowed them to let me into their world, because I was just a professor to go in and teach a class and leave. But he allowed those to open up to me, and they shared things with me about their customs and their culture. And
Well, that's the thing, and it's so funny. And you know, just one last note on that. It's so funny because when you did come up there, I was there at the door to greet you.
And you know, here's the thing: you don't never last person, Terry, on Earth.
Yeah.
I was expected to see at that door. You were the absolute. You couldn't have done
it. And it's so funny because I got there by accident myself. I was at Essex County College minding my own business. Dr. King walks up to me and says, could you do me a favor? I said, well, it's not legal because I'm too nervous to steal. He said, no, I want you to, you know, we have this program over at the Yeshiva school, and we need professors to go over here and teach. Would you be interested?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, why not? I mean, I'm open for a new adventure. So I went over there, and like you, I made some friends because I still have contact with those guys. You know, they're my Facebook friends.
They were awesome, and the one you did the newspaper with. But here's the thing.
Yes.
You said to me then, however long ago that was, you said to me, Lisa, you need to do something with, you know, over, because maybe I had just turned 50, or because I'll be 55 next month. But God bless you. And you said, Lalisa, you need to do something with, you know, going over 50. And I said, oh, yeah, that'd be good. But you know me, I'm busy. I'm rushing around.
Yes, of course.
But you stuck with it. You weren't, you know, that wasn't just a fly by night suggestion.
It wasn't.
So, could continue. I just wanted to throw that in. Wow.
Yeah.
You know.
And before, you know, we run out of time, because I'm thinking we got to take breaks and that kind of stuff, you know.
We don't have that kind of show yet.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, let's talk. But the thing that I want to throw out to your listeners, and again, and just to sort of encapsulate this whole thing with the Sexy at 60 concept, not really called the Sexy at 60 movement, because, you know, I'm definitely thinking about getting buttons, you know. And the buttons will read, are you sexy at 60? And then, and then the thing is that what I would do, and this is really, is sort of the essence of the project, the essence of the program, Lisa, because when I say sexy at 60, I'm not just talking about physical appearance, although, okay, I mean, look, I'll take that, you know, when you know, the people say, tell me how you look good. For 61, hey, I'll take that. I love that, you know. And I work on that. I mean, I don't wear old man, you know, slippers and old man suits and whatnot. You know, I try to keep current. But the point that I'm making in the book, and this is what we'll talk about, I guess, as we continue. When I go to interview these people, I ask them to share their peace with us, okay, their peace. And when I say peace, P-E-A-C-E, this is what I mean. You know, when I interview these people, these are the things I'm looking for. These are the things I'm trying to bring out of them. Peace, okay? P is for passion. You have to maintain that passion. That's the fuel for your life. Passion. P is for passion. E is for excellence. I know for myself on YouTube, if I'm going to do something, it got to be right. It got to be right. I want to be excellent. So P is for passion. E is for excellence. A is for attitude. You know, I always believe, I've heard it a long time ago, that your attitude determines your altitude, which means that, you know, the way you attack something, it determines how it's going to be successful. So yeah, your attitude determines your altitude. When I was interviewing that woman, the first person I interviewed, and she told me she had cancer, her attitude was that, you know what, I lived a long life, I enjoyed my family have enjoyed me, and you know, whatever happens, I can deal with that. So that's important. Passion, excellence, attitude. Then C is for creativity. That never stops. We never stop creating. We should never stop creating. You know, when I read something, when I see something, creativity. Me and my wife, you know, we're big fans of HGTV on cable. We watch all the decorating shows. You know, we have a house, so we're constantly doing this, doing that, changing this, changing that. My house is very creative. It's like a hub of creativity because we're always doing something, not writing, reading, whatnot, sometimes just decorating, creativity. And the last one is energy. Energy. I don't care what ideas you have. I don't care what plans that you have. You have to have energy to do that. And that's what it comes. I mean, the eating, you know, resting. You know, we need not a lot of sleep, but we need deep sleep. We need deep rest. I mean, I'm into meditation. I'm into yoga and meditation. I'm into yoga because of the stretching. You know, as you get older, you got to stretch. And I'm into the meditation because we have to calm our mind. We can't have our mind running around like a hamster in a cage. We got to calm that mind down. And then when you meditate, when you exercise, you release energy. And the energy is that we need for our day, for our reading, for our writing, just for our purpose. And so when I go to these people and talk about the book, you know, and I said the book is subtitled Questions That Matter, Answers That Reveal. It's a situation where, you know, we're not just having a conversation. We're having a conversation with a purpose. And that purpose for them to share their peace, which is their passion, which is their excellence, which is their attitude, which is their creativity, and which is their energy. And that's why I love, you know, because we're going to take this whole concept on the road. And when we go on the road to different colleges and whatnot, we're going to have a line dancing group of senior citizens to show these young kids, you know, how it's done. And that'll be part of the program, as well as me lecturing, you know, and as well as me. And there is a component where I also dance with my son. Because he's a professional break dancer, professional b-boy, traveled all over the world. And I blame myself for a lot of that because when he was young, I introduced him to hip-hop culture. But I'm saying it's the real hip-hop culture because the real hip-hop culture is about unity and about raising. It's not about the bling-bling and that kind of stuff. It's also about being an entrepreneur. My son is a cold-blooded entrepreneur because that's what he was taught. He wasn't taught to go to get a 9-to-5. He was taught to get his hustle on. He was taught that, like his father, I have many streams of income, okay? I have my pension, I have my books, I have my lecturing, I have some retail property, I do editing, I do proofreading, you know, many streams of income. And, you know, I learned that from my father. My father had a limousine service. My father owned retail property, although I never lived with my father. He was always in my life, and he always let me know that, you know what, you have to work for yourself. You have to develop things to bring to the marketplace. So I never was out of a job because when I was a kid, I shined shoes. I delivered newspaper. I went to the supermarket to help women carry their groceries to their car. You have to always think about opportunities for yourself. Because, you know, I think in a final analysis, we want not an ordinary life, but an extraordinary life. One of the things Bill Withers, in a great documentary that I think everybody should see, is a documentary called Still Bill. Still Bill. It's about Bill Withers. And in the documentary, he is 70. And this was in 2009, so he's older than that right now. But one thing he says in the film that really sort of resonates with me, he said, you know what, as you go through life, as you make your journey to wonderful, you have to stop by all right. And for some people, they better get used to the all right, because that's all that they're going to have. All they're going to have is all right. And for some people, that's cool. But I know for myself and my family, we want to go to wonderful. Okay? So it's from all right to wonderful. And where do you see yourself? See, that's what it comes down to. And I'm saying to you, you have the responsibility. You have that choice. Because a lot of people think they have choices. Some people think that, well, you know, I got to get old, I got to die, I got to get fat, you know, I got to get this, I got to get that, because this is what. No, it don't have to happen like that. No? Just because you are 50, 60, 70, you don't have to be overweight. That's a choice, because, you know, nobody's forcing you to eat what you eat. I mean, and let's understand that I love to eat now. You know? And I mean, although I'm pretty strict on my diet, there's sometimes when I explored, when we went to the steakhouse with my mother, I ate. You know? But the thing is, I don't do it all the time, you know?
Well, you're saying some really, really, just great. I'm like, wow, you know, you, wow, this is explosive.
I thought about it, obviously.
Obviously, you have. Well, I know that 3 years ago you were talking about this. So, talking about marinating, talking about putting in those. You can put in about 100,000 hours. And now, because what is 100,000? You said 10,000. That's
10,000 hours. Yeah, but it's just to make you an expert, because, you know, Jack Canfield, and really, I would even go to somebody that you introduced me to some time ago. You know, and you probably won't remember, because you do so many good things, but you did. I just want to say that you give me so many gifts, Lisa. You give me so many gifts.
Bless
and
God.
And one gift that you gave me was at Essex County College. You brought in a gentleman who has become my mentor, although he doesn't know it. So I'm going to make you smile here. Do you remember Dennis P. Kimbrough?
Oh, yes. Right,
yeah.
I know, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And as a matter of fact, I'm holding one of his books in my hand right now. It's called What Makes the Great Great.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a beautiful book. Beautiful book. And before that, he wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice.
Yes.
And this is based on another one of my favorite books, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Which
was written in 1929. Now, this was during the Depression. And he was in the during Depression, Think and Grow Rich. I think what happened, the reason I stress reading and writing so much is because it teaches you how to think. You know, if you think right, you can do right, but some of us don't want to think, you know?
Terry?
You don't want to think.
It's so interesting that you say that, and I got to do some more research on this, too, because book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Yes.
Book, and my mother was a reader. She had a gazillion books in our house growing up.
Yes, it's important.
I'm surprised that I did not take to just sitting at home and reading. But nonetheless, I took to the streets, and I wouldn't read. It was hard to get me to read anything. But I had two sisters. I had two sisters, one right over me, 2 years over, 2 years under. They both loved me. They both were readers.
Yes.
And I got stuck in the middle.
Wow.
And I the constant comparing. I would get to school and they'd say, oh, is she going to be like Jan? Is she going to be a... Because Jan was like a straight A student.
Yeah, of course.
Then Beverly coming right behind me, and I was already there, they bring her in. Now they're taking her all over the school to show teachers how well she could read.
Yes, and that's something. Wow.
And I believe I felt left out. Maybe I don't know what happened, but
probably.
So there I was, wouldn't read, because I guess I said I'm gonna show them. I'm gonna be different.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you fixed them, right? Yeah.
Fix them, I'm going to be different. I ain't read nothing. did I know I was cleaning off my own nose, just my face.
Well, at least that's like somebody taking poison and thinking somebody else is going to get sick.
Exactly. So I thought, so that started it. I had to be in grade because in order for all to be at the same school, Jan had to be like third grade. And then Cookie was like preschool or kindergarten or something. But here's what happened. But my mother always had all these books. I wouldn't read them. I'd watch her read because my mother read every day. So she
must have
listened to this show and read your points. But
she
read every day. And but one day, somewhere in my, I believe it had to be my 20s. I'm pretty sure it was after my military days. It was somewhere around that time I was ended up in that Miami situation.
I found it.
I was desperate. It might have even been when I was on some kind of restriction. It could have been. I read the book, Thinking Grow Rich.
Wow.
But now that's not the book. There's only two books that I really remember reading, you know, back then. And that was a book by Wayne Dyer.
Wow.
Your Erroneous Zone.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that.
Oh, and I read that, when, and I, again, I don't know why I was led to that book out of all the books my mom had, and then Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Those were the only two books that I picked up and read cover to cover.
And
when you, the thinking part, because sometimes when I think about all the deadly situations that I then got in. You know, the, how I was able to think my way. Now, I know it was God's blood covering me, no doubt.
No doubt about it. Because I think, again, you know, when we think deeply, I think we sort of plug into the divine, you know. I mean, Dr. Wayne Dyer, one of his books is entitled Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life.
That's a good point.
You know?
That's a great point, Terry. I never looked at it like that. Yeah, when you think deeply, you tap into the divine. Because the Bible talks about your think, but he says, as a man thinketh, so is he.
And what happens? You know, it's so funny because when you read the Bible, you read many times when Jesus was on a fast. Okay.
Yes.
Some of the greatest, you know, things came to him during the fast. See, we gotta sometimes, you know, I think a lot of times we abuse our bodies by overstuffing ourselves, and sometimes we gotta give ourselves a break, and that's why, you know, during my, you know, my separation, you know, from my wife, I mean, I was celibate, which is, for me, it's kind of hard to even think about. But it was good because I gave my body a rest, you know. And I think we need to do that. And that's why sometimes fasting is good. You got to do it the right way. That's what I always say, if you're going to do fasting, you need to read about it. But that really helps you. And we need to do, every so often, we need to cleanse ourselves, you know. And that's why the water, the fresh water is so important to keep the body hydrated and cleanse the body, because that also helps the mind, you know.
Wow.
So we got a lot of work to do on ourselves, because see, nobody tells us that. And there's very few people around who are 60, 70, and 80 who we want to talk to, because we think, oh, this person, oh, what can this person tell me? And in this society, we're so quick to throw people under the bus because we feel that they're not vital because they're older. But largely, these are the people that you want to talk to, you know?
Well, you know, that book by Dr. Wayne Dyer changed my life, because when I read that book, and that book I read, I must have been in teens sometime, because I can remember where we were living. And I remember in that book, one of the messages there was about how you're in. I want to get that book again. I haven't picked it up since
then.
40 years later. But one of the things I remember was a teaching in that book was about how you are in control of your own feelings.
Yes, you are.
And so, you know, for me to get that kind of a teaching way back then, and I try it out sometimes on people, it's still hard for people to believe that. It's hard for people to believe that they don't have to get mad. Like people will say, he made me mad, she made me mad.
I could control myself with it. But you got to get control yourself, because one of the things we talk about, Think and Grow Rich, but another book that I have in my library is a book that everybody should read again. And this was published in 1903. It's entitled As a Man Thinketh. As a Man Thinketh by James Allen, 1903.
Mm.
Okay, and again, I mean, a lot of these ideas are not new. I mean, I think a lot of times when I read Wayne Dyer, I believe that he has, you know, he's really reinvented some things that Napoleon Hill was saying, because one of the books I like about Wayne Dyer's book called Excuses Be Gone. Excuses Be Gone, and it's subtitled How to Change Lifelong Self-Defeating Thinking Habits. Excuses Be Gone, How to Change Lifelong Self-Defeating Thinking Habits. You can change. You don't have to think. You know?
And he did. And then I was on the airplane once. I needed a book because I was riding to Houston when I was working for Continental about 12 years ago.
I remember that, yeah.
I found this book. I went to the library and got this book by somehow, you know, Wayne Dyer. I got this book that he wrote called See It, Believe It.
You'll see it when you believe it.
Yeah. Powerful book.
Yeah, of course.
Got it from the library. Read the book on my way down there and my way back.
Wow.
And so that there proves to me that I can sit and read a whole book. And I know there are some parents who probably struggle with their children not wanting to read. But I dare you to give them something to read that they want to read. They'll read the whole thing.
They will. And also, when I tell my students, you know, sometimes when we're reading in class or reading on your own, reading is a form of meditation.
Mm.
Reading is, but you have to know what to read. Like, one of the things I would suggest that everybody every month read Success Magazine, which is published by Darren Hardy. You know, and he has a book out called The Compound Effect, and basically it's subtitled Jump Start Your Income, Your Life, Your Success. And it's called The Compound Effect. And people say, well, you know, Professor Benjamin, I don't have time to read. I said, look, I got something for you. Okay. Audio books. How about that? Audio books. That's what I read to you. You know, you're in your car, you know, put instead of putting on the radio, slipping an audio book. You can listen to Wayne Dyer. You can listen to Darren Hardy. You can listen to Sheryl Richardson. You can listen to Rhonda Burns. You can listen to all these people. You know, and that's reading as well, you know, because I was thinking of file analysis, Lisa, you know, I think we got to understand, you know, we have to, I believe in a holistic approach to life. We have to develop our mind, our body, and our spirit. And that's the bottom line, okay? Mind, body, and spirit. And for me, true education is what can I do to develop my mind? What can I do to develop my body? What can I do to develop my spirit? Okay? And that's, we talk about education, but I think we need to talk about true education. And true education is to develop those three things. And if you do that, and you develop the habit of literacy, and you find your peace, you'll be all right.
Wow. Well, you know what? We are minute. Great Benjamin, everybody. I'm telling you, awesome. As I said, you heard it for yourself. You can go back and listen to the archives. You can send this copy of the archive to a friend, someone that you need to hear this. You talked about healthy aging and lifelong learning. You gave us those 5 points, 5 things that we need to do every day. Dropped author after, you know, knowledge seekers, people that have wisdom, that want to share it. You told us the secret that this stuff is in these books. If we don't open up these books and read them, don't blame nobody that we're being left behind. Because you have talked about books dating back to the early, a century ago, okay? People don't, oh, I don't know this and I don't know that, and they try to keep this from me. Well, somebody said, keep it from blacks, put it in a book.
Yes,
but you are
sad,
here to break that tradition. Let's get the people to read. I'm on board with you, as I'm sure others are. You'll be back next Tuesday?
Yeah, every Tuesday.
Yeah,
and then I will encourage you, like, to send in questions, because I also get the pen ready, because I'm going to also give you some books, you know. So hopefully, by the time we finish the series, you'll have a list of books that you
all
can
right.
have in your library. So I'll share those, and you know, again, we'll continue. But again, I mean, to be 60 at 60, you got to start not at 59. Okay.
All right now. Good.
And it's, but, if you, but if you're 59, I can still help you. Because
I know that's right.
Change your thinking, you know. We got to change your thinking.
I believe you can help us day 79. This is
that's my goal and beyond.
So anyway, tell everybody you know. Tell him to tune in. He's got his book coming out. We'll be looking for that. But we'll see you back Tuesday, and I'll see the rest of you back tomorrow. Wow, we're going to recap some of this stuff. That was good stuff. Everybody have a great day. And remember, thank you so much, Terry. Thank you for those that tuned in via the chat room. Miss Kiva, I see you. God bless you. And others that are on the phone lines listening, or the however you're listening, we thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, hump day. Wow, this has been so awesome. And remember, phenomenal preparation does breed phenomenal success. So go out, prepare yourself, get ready. Wow, work on your path, work on your purpose. Work on your purpose and get on your path. It's coming your way. It's coming your way. Well, thank you again, Mr. Terry Benjamin.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and you have an awesome rest of the day, and we will talk later. God bless.
All right. God bless.